It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters. Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. I hope everything's going well. We are in the sixth month of the new year, and I, honest to gosh, guys, we're getting to the halfway point of the calendar year, and I find it amazing. We have primary stuff going on, being tabulated in California, how that's going to play out. Are they going to find a bunch of boxes somewhere in, I don't know, Watts, and just set everything aside, and then same old, same old. You know, you get what you pay for, and we're finding that out here in Oregon. Not going to lie, here in Salem. But anyway, that all said, I'm glad to bring back my good friend, someone I respect so much over the past, gosh, 4 or 5 years, Tim English, English Realty, from the English Realty Group, and with Keller Williams, which is big, big, big real estate divisions. And Tim, of course, operates his business out in Dallas and in Salem with your wife, Sherry, right?
Yeah.
Has anything changed, Tim? How are we doing?
Yeah, no, things are going great. Yeah, my wife, as well as my brother-in-law, is actually my transaction coordinator.
Yep, met him.
Right? And then the new thing is that my son, Nathaniel, is actually thinking about getting into real estate. So sitting down and talking with him, looks like he might be taking the real estate course this summer and maybe joining me in the fall.
So, you know, let's start with that, because real estate ebbs and flows.
Sure.
How, you know, when's, you know, buyer seller's market, or it just kind of lays flat. So as your son comes up to you and says, "Hey, Dad, I want to join the team," what do you say to people that are toying with the idea of going into the real estate world? Yeah. Let's just start with that. A young,
sure,
because it's, well, commission based.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just the thing. So consistency is key. You've got to be, you know, you got to treat it like a business. You got to get out there and talk to people every day, make your contacts. But what I love is with Keller Williams systems and models and training that that Gary Keller has come up with, he's really taken the mystery out of real estate sales, so that, you know, if you're wanting to do it full time and make an actual career or make an actual steady income out of it, you can, because really it's just a numbers game. So that regardless of what market you're in, you know, Gary Keller got started, I believe, in like 1980 or 1981, something like that. And so that's right in the midst of the crazy inflation from the Carter years, and, you know, way tougher of a market than what we're experiencing today. And he said, you know, he went out and hit all of his goals that first year. So it's, people focus, I think, too much on the market itself. I mean, realtors do, in terms of whether it's, quote, good or bad. It's just, it is what it is, right? Like, it's just the market. It's, you know, right now we're trending towards a buyer's market. It's still more of a balanced market, I would say, right now. We've got 4 to 5 months worth of inventory. But yeah, the reality is it is what you make it to be. So I'm not really scared about my son, in that I know I've done it for 8.5 years through some different shifts, and made it work for my family. And he's a hard worker, so I'm sure he'll be able to make it work for him and his wife.
Yeah, people, relationships, get to know everybody, whether it's your church, your gym, your neighborhood, you know, obviously family, if they don't have somebody else that's in the business that they want to be loyal to. Let's go from a realtor, potential realtor like your son, to let's talk right now about the homeowner that's thinking about selling, and they're looking at things. What advice do you have for a homeowner with a house worth roughly between, say, you know, $350,000 to half a mil?
Yeah. Well, I would say anything under 400 right now is still gonna sell way quicker than, you know, anything at the higher price points. What we do try to share with people is, you know, I'll bring up whatever zip code they're in and look at the homes that are selling, and basically what we're finding is this. You know, I think I just looked at the numbers this morning. They said days on market was 61, and that was down from last month of 69. So, I mean, that's a positive trend. That tells me things are picking up a little bit. Things are selling a little bit quicker. But in all reality, it's going to take several, maybe 2-3 months to get a house sold, maybe longer, depending on what price point and what zip code and what the house is like, all of those different factors.
What are you sensing when you go out and you're either representing the buyer or the seller? How's the attitude? How are people? Antsy? Are they anxious? Excited? Yeah.
I think people in general right now are pretty anxious.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the world is in upheaval, which always makes people anxious. And then, so even if they are brave enough to, you know, I think it's kept some people on the sidelines. Some people are still waiting, right, in order to sell or buy, thinking that somehow things are going to improve in the upcoming months or years. Other people who are brave enough to you know, say, hey, I still need to do something. You know, we're still getting it done. It's just taking longer than what people have been used to in the past. So it's more of a patience game and waiting to get that house under contract before they venture out to go find something to purchase. You know, it used to be, boom, we needed to hurry out there and see what was out there because it might be gone. Not so much the case, and sellers really haven't been super open to contingent offers because they know what the market's like, and they're like, well, why do I want to wait around for somebody else to sell their house that might take 2-3 months?
Wow, that's a little bit of a change.
Yeah.
So it's not that simple.
No.
Cash is king, right?
Yeah, cash is still king.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, just on review, you know, real estate potential buyer 101, what do they need to have in their arsenal as they come up to you? You know, I want to buy that house, Tim.
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would say in some regards, it's actually easier than it was several years ago when we had the low interest rates, because they had to have way more cash. They had to be willing to pay over asking price. They had to be willing to not ask for any repairs, and they had to make their decision really, really fast.
Yep.
So in today's market, you could actually come in, could actually have quite a few homes to choose from, you know, 4 to 5 months worth of inventory. You could actually take a little bit of time to think about it, and you know, we could do a home tour, whatever. And you could actually get in there for, you know, 3.5% if you're FHA or whatever, or 5% conventional, or even 3% on a conventional first-time home buyer program. So, you know, just your straightforward down payment. And because these houses are sitting for months and months, you know, you might be able to, a seller might be willing to pay for an interest rate buy down or pay for your closing costs. They're going to be willing to do some repairs. You might be able to get the house for $5,000 or $10,000 under asking price. All those things are possible now because of the nature of the market. So it's actually a way better market for buyers than what it has been.
What do you think is going to, you know, tip the scales and make it like it was, gosh, 6 years ago before COVID took over? I mean, that was unbelievable. It was a seller's market then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Tim, couple
well,
minutes.
I mean, ever since COVID, we're playing catch up, and just like ripples in a pond, right? Like once the rock goes in, things are evening out, and so like it was a really strong seller's market, and there wasn't much inventory. Now this year, I forget exactly what the numbers were, but I was just looking at a chart that showed this gap between the number of sellers and the number of buyers, and it's huge. There's just way, way more sellers this year than there are buyers. And even the buyers that are pre-approved to buy, they're not rushing out and buying anything. A lot of them are getting their pre-approval and still waiting. They're just waiting and waiting. So the best I can tell is it feels like, for whatever reason, 6% is kind of the magic number. Because when we dipped below 6% back in February, it was like the dam started to break. And I did 7 transactions that month, in the month of February.
Wow.
And then as soon as the Iran war thing started and interest rates went north of 6%, boom, put on the brakes.
Gasoline prices,
fuel, all that diesel. Stuff. So anytime things are, you know, people are anxious, then they tend to wait. They tend to put big decisions aside. We'll wait till things settle down, blah, blah, blah. All that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where we're at. So at some point, here's the thing we're going to want to talk about a little bit, and I give your listeners some pointers, some inside scoop, so to speak. And that is, you know, right now the tendency or the temptation is to wait.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen when the rates do come down, or we get past the Iran war and the gas prices come down, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they're jumping into the market the same time as everybody else. And the dam does break, and all of a sudden the inventory gets gobbled up because all these people have been waiting. It's going to be way more competitive than if they would buy right now.
Great place to end this segment. My buddy Tim English, English Realty, in Dallas, Keller Williams, Jake Rural Matters. We are just getting going.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters, busy time now. By the way, people, June is dairy month. I can tell you that. I know, shocker. I'm not going to go in the other direction. I want people to listen to the show, but historically speaking, June is dairy month.
And you're proud about that.
Heck yeah, I'm proud of it. But, you know, Tim, you know, not far from you, the Rick Real Dairy went out
right.
a few years after
yeah.
I did. And like strawberry fields...
Mm-hmm.
Like strawberry fields. That's kind of how the dairy industry has kind of gone out here in the Willamette Valley. You go back when I was in high school and even into college, and actually up until about 8 or 9 years ago, we had the best strawberries here in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah, strawberry fields everywhere. Yeah. Now you can't hardly find one.
I know. Now you got to put on a Beatles song. That's about as close as you're going to get, man. Strawberry fields forever. There we go. Anyway, watch out for the farmers. They're out and about. They're doing their thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
also, I mean, Tim, I don't know too, but I feel like we're in a weather pattern that is way ahead of normal warm weather that we usually get right in front of the 4th of July. I don't know. It seems to be happening in these past recent weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're in some sort of mini drought. But anyhow, that said, I got that off my chest. I feel better. All right, Tim, let's continue on. You've got some pointers. You're talking about strategies.
Yeah.
Let's talk about strategies.
Yeah.
And then we're going to broaden out and talk about some other stuff. Go ahead.
Okay.
Take some time there.
Yeah. So, just follow up on what we were talking about. So, you know, Warren Buffett used to say, look at what the crowd is doing and then do the opposite.
Right. I've seen that quote.
Yeah, right. So right now, what that looks like is everybody's waiting. So don't wait. Obviously you got to be able to afford the payment. I get that. But you're not stuck with 6.5% for forever. And really, to put it in perspective, 6.5% is the historical average of interest rates for forever. So if you find what you want, get pre-approved, meet with me. We can come up with a strategy, like if you need to sell and buy or whatever your situation is, we can come up with a home buying strategy, try and smooth it out, make it as smooth as possible. But you're not married to the rate. So if you can get it, and like I said, you have all these negotiation levers that you didn't have before at your disposal to get yourself a good deal and not have to compete with everybody else. And you go ahead and get your foot in the door and start building equity, right, in this investment. Then when everybody else is scrambling here a few months from now and, you know, you're going to be sitting pretty, you're going to already have made your purchase. And, you know, if rates go down next year or, you know, whenever they significantly go down, and they will at some point, then you can refinance.
You've been at it 8.5 years, Tim, and I know also that your history, your folks, your dad was a real estate agent. I know that.
Yeah.
And so you've outside of your personal life, I know also as a pastor, you know, you've been involved in the ministry. How's the real estate biz kind of morphed and changed as you know, as you look at how your dad had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
How does Tim English have to do it, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's a totally different world.
Isn't it, though?
When my dad was still alive several years ago when I got started and I would share with him about the deals I was doing and everything, he was like, he was just blown away. Like, he was just like, holy mackerel, you know, never did that many deals and never, you know. Obviously, they had books, right? Like, people had to come in and they would look through the multiple listing book, and you had to go somewhere to find the keys to the house. And I mean, it was just, you know, you had to have maps in your car, right, in your glove box or whatever. I mean, it was just a totally different ballgame. So today, we have apps on our phone, right? Like, I've got a whole bunch of different apps for different things. And so we have an app to get into the house. We have an app to calculate, you know, a mortgage payment. We have an app to look up homes. We have, you know, app for everything. And, you know, and then you just put in the, right, of course, we got GPS, so we can just find the house.
It helps.
Right?
It helps a lot.
All that different stuff. So it's really streamlined a lot of stuff. Also, we got DocuSign, right? And we have, you know, so we can send things to people. People don't necessarily have to come into the office to sign a piece of paper and all those different things that really speed up the process a lot. But yeah, I would just encourage people, number one, don't wait. Get pre-approved so that you're ready. A lot of people are, you know, they're looking, but the problem is if you're not pre-approved, and then all of a sudden, last second, you find a house that you like, and you, as has happened to several folks this year and last, that they called me up and they wanted to buy a house, but by the time they got their stuff in order, the house was gone. So even though on one hand the market's slower, the reality is, a great house at a great price is going to go fast in any market.
That's a good point there. So let's talk a little bit about the first time buyer.
Yeah.
What kind of protocol should they have? We're talking about pre-approval.
Yeah.
Let me put you this way. Are you going to even show a house to someone if they don't have pre-approved?
No.
I mean, is that even worth your time?
No. Well, and it's not fair to them either.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, I'm taking somebody out who may or may not be able to buy that house, and so you're just teasing them or torturing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you really need to know what you can shop for before you go shopping.
Correct. Talk a little bit about what it takes to do that, Tim. I know that you know the business upside down, even the mortgage side to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a host of great lenders here in the Salem area and surrounding communities. You know, if you know somebody or somebody can recommend somebody, that's great. If not, you know, give me a call. I've got, you know, five or six different great lender partners that all do a great job. But yeah, it really doesn't matter either. You need to, you know, talk with that lender, get them their information, get pre-approved, which, I mean, if you have the information, you can get that done within 24 hours, if you want to move that fast. But the main thing is to come up with a plan. And that's where I come in, where, you know, if you're going to use a realtor, use a quote, real realtor, meaning not somebody who's just going to open doors for you. But who actually is an expert and works with you, like your CPA, like your financial planner, who will actually help you develop a plan and look at it as an investment and, you know, look out for your financial interest.
And let's not discount the fact that if you are wanting to buy a house, don't go into the game with a lot of debt on you already. I mean, sure. I mean, people, we want to think that we can afford everything.
Yeah.
What kind of counseling do you have to do to some people, Tim?
Yeah. Well, I mean, boy, it's a little bit tough sometimes in that, you know, with the lending laws that are out there, they will let you borrow more than what you really should, right? So just because you can, I mean, you should, right? You don't want to necessarily don't want to be house poor. And so that's where we'll talk about lifestyle and, like, what's important to you. What do you like to do? And what are some of those things that you spend money on? And, you know, general rule of thumb, like, if you're following, good grief, why am I drawing a blank? Financial guru.
Oh, the guy out of Tennessee.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank for all of a sudden. But anyway, so, you know, basically you shouldn't be into your house more. Your house and all the utilities and all, you know, taxes, insurance, all, everything to do with taking care of your house and paying for it should not be more than 40% of your budget.
Okay, so that's a good, that's something that I think people need, something they got to aim for.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And I know that you can guide people that way. You have an office, and you're more than happy to talk to Dave Ramsey.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey, guy.
Senior moment.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how we forgot that.
Hey, it happens. But really, I mean, look, I'd like to buy Elvis Presley's house.
But, yeah,
sure. You know, let's be realistic. Yeah. We have to have realistic expectations, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of expectations, one, we were just mentioning on the break, I had read this article here recently that really helped me understand what's going on here in the Willamette Valley a lot better. Like, sometimes as a realtor, you're kind of out there by yourself and you're like, is it just me? Like, why is the market so slow? Or, you know, why aren't deals coming together? Am I just a weirdo or what have you?
And you're not. And we're going to talk about this next segment. Jake with Tim, Realty.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake back with you. All kinds of stuff going on. And, you know, Tim, we left off. We had to make that hard break. Go ahead and keep continuing with that story. Go ahead and touch base on what we were finishing off on.
Yeah, so I was just reading an article the other day that was looking at the national housing market, and the title was like the five slowest markets in the United States, and Portland and surrounding areas were in the top five, which is just crazy because from a few years ago, we were in the top five of the fastest growing, right? And so for a bunch of different factors, now we're in the five slowest. And there's a lot of other parts of the country that are still growing, and like the Midwest and the South and different places. But we're in the midst of a really slow adjusting market. So it's just interesting to kind of look at it at the macro level.
You were this past winter in Atlanta, Georgia,
yeah.
And I was out there in front of you in October.
Okay.
So what did you see when you were out in Atlanta? I know you're doing your convention, but
yeah.
What are they telling you out there?
Well, yeah, Gary Keller does a great job. He and his economist, Ruben Gonzalez, I think is his name. Anyway, they put out all the stats, and they kind of put out what they think their best predictions for this year. And, you know, obviously they didn't know about the Iran war and the different
coming up.
The things that have come up this spring. But they were cautiously optimistic, let's just say. They were cautiously optimistic. And they're saying a lot of the same things that I'm hearing from other financial institutions and even from the government, that the second half of this year will be a lot better than the first.
Well, you look at, and a lot of people do, the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the lows are sky high.
Yeah.
From, say, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
And so there is money being made.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just go ahead then. Let's just talk a little bit about optimism.
Yeah.
We got a new Fed chair.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit. What you think it might fuel that back half of the year? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's tough to say, right? You know, people can say one thing and then go a different direction. So it's hard to say. But, you know, I think from the little bit that I've seen or heard about Mr. Warsh, I think now, obviously, he's just one vote, right? Like it's a committee. You know, you got all the board chairs of the different central bank outlets voting together. But you know, just like a lot of different areas, I think whether you like President Trump or not, he is a change agent and he upsets the status quo. And so you're going to always have people who are trying to maintain the status quo. And I think that's where Jerome Powell was coming from. And maybe even people that have a little bit of a political axe to grind who don't want certain people to be successful in the changes that they're trying to make. And so they try to hold things out. So I see it as a positive change. I don't see it as a miracle pill that is all of a sudden going to lower interest rates. Because right now we really do have an inflation issue with gas, you know, fuel prices being where they're at. We need to keep control of that. But we also know that that's temporary, and not because of overspending, but because of the conflict, and which creates fear and anxiety and drives up prices. So as soon as that's resolved, however that's resolved, fuel prices will come back down, interest rates will come back down. Not a lot. I would venture to say that, you know, my guess would be by the year's end, we're at least back to 6, if not in the high 5s.
All right. Good to know. And, you know, the fuel thing is kind of a rising tide for all the ships, and it's a lowering tide for all the ships.
Yeah.
Because so much hinges on it. Let's let me give you my experience. I was in the Midwest, Northwest Iowa, spent a lot of time there in the early 80s, family out there, and then near Greater Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Tim, the fuel prices were at least a dollar less in all categories, whether it's diesel or your, you know, super unleadeds or whatever, a dollar less, and they're still going, man, our fuel prices are high. I go, well, don't come out where I'm at. But one of the things I noticed in the Midwest was you had apartments going up in various rural but very ag-based communities in Northwest Iowa, and also houses.
Yeah.
Now, here in Salem, I see a lot of apartments going up.
Right.
But Tim, help me out here. I'm not seeing a lot of houses being built.
No.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously there, you know, we've had a shortage for quite some time. But yeah, the Midwest is booming. There's a lot of growth all across the Midwest. But yeah, out here, there was a big push towards multi-housing. And the reason for the disparity there is twofold. One, the kind of companies that are building the multi-housing have a lot of money, right? And they already know that it's going to be a long-term project, as well as most of them are then going to hold that property and then make money off of all the rent, right? So they're not looking at it as a sale. Your typical house builder, most of them are smaller companies. They don't have a lot of revenue. Maybe they're backed by a group of investors. And, you know, anytime the market, you know, shows signs of slowing down or whatnot, they're going to slow down because they don't want to stick their neck out and risk, you know, building this house and then having to sell it at a fire sale price and losing money. So right now, because of the anxiety in the market and how slow things are going, you're not seeing a lot of building.
Well, and here's the other part of it, because I talked to someone that is an electronics guy and also a builder. It costs more to build a house out here per square foot than it does in Tennessee or South Dakota.
Yeah.
Maybe even by quite a bit. Why is that? Why is it out here?
Yeah.
I want your perspective.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
I had him on my show 3 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know all the factors. I won't pretend to be an expert on all of that, but I will say that we have quite a bit more regulation, and our land use laws are stricter. So there's some red tape there. Now, a lot of cities and the state have gone to significant lengths over the past few years to try and remove some of those barriers. But what it does is it really limits the amount of developable land that there is. And so anytime you have less supply and more demand, it drives up the price. So then you're starting with your lot price of just your dirt that you're going to build a house on is a lot more than somewhere else, right? Because we're in the Willamette Valley. People want to live here. We're close to the ocean. We're close to the mountains. We have great weather. So all of those things, you know, just drive up the cost of just getting the dirt, right? And then putting the house on it. So yes, we have the lumber, But then we have higher taxes and we you know, all these other things.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of growth in the Tennessees, certainly Florida. I think Florida's going to max out one day. I can't imagine that place being able to hold everybody. But you're seeing the moves.
Right.
And going back to my trip a few weeks back in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I was amazed at what I see. So how could a state that does not have a large population, you've got Sioux Falls and Rapid City being the western half with Mount Rushmore and there's a lot of recreational stuff, but not a lot of people, but so much action and tangible. You can really go like, yeah, that is something you can sink your teeth into. Mm-hmm. And I think...
We just have a way more mobile society than we have ever had. And so people have all these different options and they're going, if I stay here, I've got to settle for this small house on a small lot and reach out and touch my neighbor, or I could go to South Dakota or some other state and for the same price get a big house and some acreage, you know?
So, you know, we got like a minute and a half.
Okay.
To that point, are you getting phone calls from out-of-state people interested in coming to Oregon? Have you seen a lot of that, or your colleagues?
No.
What are you thinking there?
No. Now, used to, we're seeing that back in the boom, but definitely not seeing it now. If anything, I'm not seeing a big rush now, not like I did a few years ago where a lot of people were moving out of state. But there are a few people moving out of state.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So you see that. They're like saying, I want to sell my house, Tim. Can you, with Keller Williams, broad USA, hook me up with a good agent out that way?
Yeah.
You've seen that.
So then I research the area that they're going to and help them find a great agent. And
you take care of this end and hope that they're taken care of on the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. Tim English is with me. We're rolling through third segment already, Tim. No surprise there. Friend of the program since I started. I want to continue that. Tim English, English Realty out of Dallas. Jake, Rural Matters, last segment right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, Friday. And a wonderful time of the year here in Oregon. We do have the weather, no question about it. I get to see people from all over the country where I work at times. And this is a great time, Tim, to be in the valley.
Yeah.
We're going to have high pressure off and on, literally going to October. All right, so the world needs to know, and I've had you on before talking about this. Tim, you know, you were actually a pastor, associate pastor in Colorado.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to... You know, your son wants to join you in real estate. Was there an opportunity that you could have joined your dad in the business, or how did that work for you to become a pastor?
Right. Yeah. Well, let's just say my dad and I didn't have the greatest relationship.
Okay.
In the world, and then part of it was he got out of the Navy, moved up here from Southern California. And my grandparents had already moved up here from Southern California, and my grandpa had gotten into real estate and become a principal broker, started his own brokerage, was instrumental in helping start the Polk County Association of Realtors back in the day. And so dad moved up here, joined him in real estate, and so the both of them were in real estate through the later 70s and into the early 80s. And then with the market going the way it did back during the Jimmy Carter years, then dad got out of real estate, actually owned one of the Montgomery Ward catalog stores from 81 to 85.
I remember those.
So then they shut those stores down. And so he, you know, lost that. And then, but what was coming on during that time, which he did a lot of orders for, was chain link fencing. And he just saw that there was a market for that and started his own fencing company and built fences for a long time. So that's what he was doing at the time where I was in college, and then I met my wife and we got married and we moved off to Kansas City for me to go to Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. So I just, my one of my giftings is music, and I wanted to use my music for God and in a church setting. So I went off to learn how to be a worship pastor and do all that. So we just kind of, you know, said our goodbyes, so to speak, to the fam, which they were really sad to see us move away from Oregon. And we were out in Missouri for 12 years and then Colorado for 10 years before moving back in 2017.
You know, you've had opportunity to live in different parts, you know, and I think that's amazing. How has God touched your life, Tim? How's that? You got a big family.
Yeah,
might as well let people know that.
Sure. All right. Well, one of the things was wanting to live a life of faith, wanting to live a life that was only explainable by God. And so my wife and I both decided that we were, if children were a blessing, like the word says, then we wanted God to bless us, and we were open to however he wanted to do that. So he has blessed us with 12 children. We have 7 sons and 5 daughters. 4 of them are married, and we have 2 grandbabies and 1 on the way.
Fantastic. No, that's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about locally here in Salem, you're helping out a church right now.
Yeah, so that's been kind of fun. You know, for a few years, I was just, you know, getting settled, getting the business started and all of that kind of stuff. And then ended up, after COVID, getting plugged into a church up in Amity and helping a pastor up there for a couple of years, doing some worship leadership there. And then, like you were saying here, just really recently, meeting Pastor Steve Helleman of Crossroads Fellowship in Kaiser, a young startup church. They've been going for just under 3 years, and just bought a building and renovated it there on North River Road. And just a really dynamic preacher and just a great guy, fellow haircut stylists like ourselves.
Follically challenged is the way I like to call it. I think I coined that phrase.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm taking it. Follically challenged.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I just jumped in here this last month and been leading worship with them. So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the church itself, I think 200 people going, roughly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
250, 260.
That's a nice number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice number. Are you preaching at all? Are you doing anything like that?
Not yet. I'm just dipping my toes in the water right now. So just helping out with the team and trying to take things to the next level. They're actively hoping to hire somebody at some point. So kind of just running things in the interim. But yeah, just it's a big blessing and really, really enjoy it. And, you know, it's just an outlet for music.
Let's talk about music.
Yeah.
How's it going? You write your own stuff with your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had some of your stuff on the program before.
Right.
Where's that going right now, Tim? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been great. It's still continuing to go really well. So we, as of last December, I had recorded 30 songs so far in that year and a half time span of working with my oldest son, who's my producer. We kind of switched gears this year. I sensed kind of my word for this year is revival, to just be revived, whether that's personally or, you know, as a church or maybe a business or our nation or whatever it is. I see God renewing things. And so, I mean, that he's always in the business of that, right? But anyway, I know he's been doing that in my life, and so I decided to do a more thematic album that focused on that. So the title track is Revive Me. There's 9 songs on it. We're just finishing up the last song this month. It should be released here in the next couple of weeks on Spotify and all your other streaming platforms. So look for Revive Me or Tim English as an artist. There'll be a bunch of songs out there about revival, and it's kind of a mixture of both. I mean, it's all original stuff, but they're like songs. There are several songs where I wrote the lyrics. there's a few songs that are what I would call scripture songs, where we're essentially singing scripture or a paraphrase thereof, and then a few of them that are modern hymn arrangements.
You know, Tim, we're in a time the word, you know, people are anxious for at all levels, and revival is something that this area that you and I you know call home between Dallas and Salem and all of that, we could use a little bit of that, don't you think?
Do you
think it's happening? What are you seeing? What are you seeing in your church? What are you seeing?
Well, definitely at Crossroads. I'll tell you that much. I don't know. You know, I haven't gotten out to a lot of different churches, so I don't really want to speak to that. But what I see at Crossroads, there's a lot of folks that have not been to church in a long time coming back to God. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, like nationally we have seen that in the past year with the whole Charlie Kirk phenomenon, and that's a real thing. Like, there's a lot of people writing about it, of just large numbers of young people in their 20s coming to faith all across, whether it's on college campuses or they're just showing up at church. You know, my son, who is my producer, he serves at a large church in Conway, Arkansas.
Okay.
They saw it at their church, like right after the assassination. Boom, there were their college ministry like quadrupled. It was just, you know, it went from, you know, I don't know, maybe 25 to 50 kids to like 150 to 200 kids. And they're doing a full-blown college worship service on Thursday nights when school's in session, because they've got so many kids coming.
Tim, we only got about 40 seconds. Let's go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of you real estate-wise.
Yeah.
And plug your music real quick. We got to end on some note.
All right, there we go.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so if you want to reach out to me, you can find me 503-998-3234. My website is timenglishproperties.com. You can find me there as well. Yeah, look me up online, and you can find me in Dallas or Salem. And if you're looking for my music, again, you can either find me at patientpraisemusic.com or just look me up on Spotify or whatever music platform you use.
Yeah, and I've heard your music. It's beautiful, Tim. Thanks for coming in. Jake, Rural Matters, and we'll be back next week.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.